Oh, okay. Pastor Don, you open up in prayer.
Make it kind of short, brother. I need some time today, man.
Blame her right there, not me. Okay, she took all the time. All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we give you thanks for this morning. Father, as we assemble here to break bread, but also, Lord, to break bread in your word.
Amen.
We pray that you would bless Donna, keep her short so that her husband can get in some ministry today. But Father, we pray that this word would go deep to our heart, Lord, that we would have hope, that you would refresh us by your presence here today. We ask the Spirit of God move mightily upon us as we sit at the feet of Jesus. Father, bless his time and all that they set their hands to do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Okay, I'm just going to do a short recap. I taught last week on hope. That's what we're teaching about. I taught about a woman, a 102-year-old woman, who had given up her daughter at 17. And through years of praying and hoping, she always prayed to the Lord, always made a vow to the daughter that she would always remember her, always love her and pray for her. And so they were reunited at her daughter's name was Ruth at 77, and Minka was 94. Now they've had 8 years together, and it's been a blessing. So there was a prayer that I wanted to read, and I couldn't find it last week, got kind of confused. But it says, she loved those summer weeks, children's voices screaming with delight, their laughter cutting through the mountain hollows, and cozy nights spent around blazing campfires, singing or listening to a missionary story. Wait a minute. No!
Oh.
Wait. Okay, here it is. On many a summer's night, when Minka gazed at the moon, she wondered if Betty Jane had gone into to a camp as a child. She imagined her daughter winning all the awards for knowing Bible verses and roasting marshmallows over a fire. So many years have gone by now. Now her little girl was most likely married with children of her own. In the cool evenings, Minka once again prayed for her firstborn child. God, I pray that Betty Jane found a wonderful man who loves her with all his heart, and that they have been blessed with children and happiness. Most of all, Father, I pray that they all know you and your love and your grace every day, no matter where they are. And, you know, when we put our hope in the Lord, he doesn't disappoint us. And the amazing thing to me is that her heart wanted to keep this baby, but she did what God wanted. He told her to give that baby away. And how many of you know when God tells us to do something, he will work it all around for us? And he did for her. He not only let, because she prayed. She said, Lord, let me just see her. I won't even interrupt her life. I just want to see what she looks like. And he not only let her see what she looked like, but to be a part of her life and to know that her daughter was serving the Lord. God brought it all the way around. When we put our hope in the Lord and we do his will and not our own, he will work that out.
Amen. You take that with you. Amen. You know, also in that at the end of that video, you know, because it was, I think it was on Good Morning America or something like that, they interviewed them together, and they asked the daughter, you know, if she had it all to do over again, would she change anything? And she actually said no. You know, she loved the life that she had, and like Donna said, the thing was, in the end, she got to be with her mother anyway. You know, I mean, she got married, had a good life, had children of her own. It was actually her son, the daughter's son, that took it upon himself to find her mother, and it worked out. So, amen. So, anyways, we are talking about hope, and I'll just read the definition again. Hope, to desire with expectation of obtainment, to expect with confidence, someone or something on which hopes are centered. And I said our hopes need to be centered in God, amen. He loves us and wants nothing but the best for us. In Jeremiah 29:11, we should all know that scripture. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Amen. God's always looking out for the best of us. But like Donna said, sometimes we choose, because God's given us that right to make our own decisions, we choose to walk out of His will. Amen. But God's always there to pick us up when we fall, to put us back on that right path again. Just like, you know, our children. Remember when they used to walk and they'd get into things or fall down or something like that? You'd pick them up and set them on the right path again. God, that's what God does with our lives. Amen. So anyways, Pastor Don, being my mentor over there, him and Pastor John, this man has an uncanny ability to get clips from the Three Stooges, the Simpsons, the Little Rascals. I remember one time we went to a Men in Ministries conference, and I sat behind him, and he was drawing cartoon figures, and I'm like, excuse me, Pastor, but what the heck are you doing? I mean, this man's up here preaching, you're drawing cartoons. He goes, oh, no, this is a teaching. And he sat there and went through the whole cartoon thing that he wrote out, and it was like, wow, that was cool. So I took it upon myself to follow my leader over there, and just let me give you the background. Like, Donna found that video on this story about the mother and the daughter on TV, you know, or on the internet, something like that. So last Saturday, all my boys and we took our grandsons, we went to go see Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man movie, because they love Spider-Man. And we're in there, and I should have really been going on this teaching, you know what I mean? But you know how that goes, you know, like, you know, God won't let me down. I'll put my hope in God, He'll give me what I need, you know. So we're sitting there in the theater, great movie. I thought it was a great movie. And the last 5 minutes, now I don't want to ruin it for everybody, but I got to tell you this, I'm sorry. His girlfriend dies. And in the beginning of the movie, they're graduating, right? And she was the valedictorian. And she's calling him on the phone like, you better be here for my speech. You better be here. Well, you know, Spider-Man, he's beating up bad guys and stuff. So he got there. He missed the speech. But it got taped. And she had it on a little zip drive. And so she tells him during the movie in the beginning, you know, make sure you listen to this speech. And he's like, okay. Well, he never got to it. So anyways, she winds up dying, and he gets, like, all depressed. Like, he stops being Spider-Man in the movie. They said, like, for 5 months, they're like, where's Spider-Man? You know, crime's going crazy. So anyways, to make a long story short, he lives with his aunt and his uncle, right? Well, his aunt, if you remember, his Uncle Ben died. His aunt, he sees her aunt putting his stuff, like, in a box. And he's like, what are you doing? And she says, well, it's time to put this where it belongs. And he goes, you're throwing it away? And she goes, no, I could never throw it away. That's part of my life, you know? She says, but I just need to put it away because I feel that every time the box gets heavier, my life gets lighter. Wasn't that cool? I thought, wow. You know, in other words, she doesn't want to be depressed thinking about it. So not that she don't love him still, but she just puts it out of her way so she can focus on her life. So anyways, I'm going to show you this quick video. So after they have that discussion, he goes into his room, and he, you know, he's got pictures of her plastered all over the place. And because, see, every time he was looking at her pictures and stuff, he was being depressed. So he finally puts the zip drive in, and he's going to listen to her speech. And when I saw this at the movie, I was like, this is God right here. Watch this.
It's easy to feel hopeful on a beautiful day like today. But there will be dark days ahead of us too. There will be days where you feel all alone. And that's when hope is needed most. No matter how buried it gets, or how lost you feel, you must promise me that you will hold on to hope. Keep it alive. We have to be greater than what we suffer. My wish for you is to become hope. People need that. And even if we fail, what better way is there to live? As As we look around here today at all of the people who helped make us who we are, I know it feels like we're saying goodbye. But we will carry a piece of each other into everything that we do next. To remind us of who we are. And if we're meant to be. I've had a great 4 years with you. I'll miss you all very much.
Man, that was... Dude, I almost started crying in the theater. I said, wow. Are you serious? She's sitting there talking about hope and what hope really is. And I was like, oh my God, I got to get this. I got to get this video. You know, because it was still in the theater, so I didn't know if I could get the video. Well, actually, yes, the Lord provides. Actually, I went to YouTube, right? And I found it, and I'm like, oh, great. And I go to watch it, and it's a cartoon. I'm like, oh, no. You know, and then I was going to give up right there. I was going to give up right there. And I said, well, just let me look on Google. I doubt if it's on, if it ain't on YouTube, it ain't going to be on Google. I went on Google, and they had it on Google Movies. They wanted me to buy it for $10. I'm like, man, I just went and seen it, paid to see it, man. I want to pay again. But then there was a site right under it, and I just clicked on it, and it started showing the movie, just like what I had just seen like 3 hours ago. So I was able to get Sarah to clip that for me and show that part. So God does provide. But anyways, I had a whole different teaching lined up, but when I saw this speech, I wanted to put this speech in the teaching because I thought it was so essential. So I'm going to tear it apart line by line. She said, it's easy to feel hopeful on a beautiful day like today. And how many of us know that when things are going good, it's very easy to have hope, right? That's easy money. That's no problem. I mean, when God's blessing us and things just seem to be going right, you know, promotions, you know, new jobs, you know, retirement, whatever, you know, whatever, the blessings that we receive from the Lord, it's easy to put our hope into Him. You know, that's easy money. I don't want to say it's cheating because we still want to keep our hope in God. But she also goes on to say, but there will be dark days ahead of us too. Life isn't all a bowl of cherries. Trials and tribulations are sure to come our way. Well, when we read James 1, 2, and 4, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So there's the proof, you know. We are going to suffer trials and tribulations, you know. But we got to keep that joy in all circumstances. People will be watching us, you know. You know, I think of like right off the top of my head, like Sammy being in the factory, like I am. When things bad happen, we have to be that joy and that hope for the people, because right away they've, you know, like I'll never forget GM when they declared bankruptcy. it was like the same people that put all their hope and faith in Obama, and when they found out that he was lying, well, I went up to these brothers. I'm like, hey, how about your boy? Where's your hat? Where's your button? Where's your T-shirt you were wearing? Obama. What happened? They want to talk about it. You know, well, the same thing happened when GM announced that we were going to possibly go into bankruptcy. Man, people were walking around like their life was over. Like, oh my God, what? We're going to have a job. What am I going to do? I don't know how to do anything else. You know, what am I going to do? And I was like, hey, all right, I'm going to get some time off. That's what I was looking at. Hey, I get to get a lot involved in the church. You know, do a couple things. They were like, man, why aren't you worried? I said, because I put my hope and trust in God, not in General Motors. General Motors is just a company. There's living proof that nothing of this world is going to supersede God. No matter how great and powerful it looks, it's nothing because it's by man, you know? So, yes. Look at her, what?
Look at Rush. good listening to me. It didn't hit me a minute. I'm sorry.
I want you to share a little bit about, you know, he took this job and just go ahead and just share a little bit.
Yeah, so, yeah, to call it a bad circumstance, I feel like, is very, very accurate. I graduated college 2 weeks ago on Saturday, and then 3 days later, I moved to Michigan to take a job at this school. I have a heart for kids in the inner city, and so that's why I thought that I wanted to come and work at ABT. And so I was looking forward to sort of reaching these kids, like showing God's love to them, because a lot of kids from these circumstances, you know, don't have great home lives, and I feel like teachers can be a great influence in kids' lives, and so that's why I wanted to be a teacher in the inner city. But on like the second day, three girls got in a fight in my room, my whole classroom left. I mean, I get sworn at on an hourly basis. They just fight and scream and yell, and it's just really terrible. So it's really difficult, and it's not, you know, I imagine going in and helping all these kids and, you know, changing everything. And yeah, and yeah, I am, yep, the only white person. And yeah, and so it's just, it's really difficult. And I think that my faith has really strengthened since being there, because I have realized that I was trusting in myself. I was like, I'm going to go in there and make a difference, but I can't do anything outside of God. And I just have been like saying, all right, Lord, this next hour is yours, because I can't do it. I don't have the strength. And so I was planning on working there next year, because I have a lot of loans and payments coming up. And so I just sort of like took the first job that was offered because I really need a job. But I'm not sure that it's necessarily where the Lord wants me to be. I don't think that I am the person that those students need. And I don't think that I necessarily can reach them how they need to be reached. So now I'm sort of just, you know, Candace was talking about how she's a planner, and this was my plan, to get a job and be a teacher. But now I'm just sort of trusting in God and looking for where it is that he wants me to be. But, yeah, it's not what I expected. That's, yeah, that's for sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just to encourage you, I have a son who graduated in teaching as well. He had the same thing happen to him. He was excited the way you were. And he went into the inner city to teach students, and they did the same exact thing to him. But I honestly believe, I mean, he was more or less like you, very mild-mannered, very, like, and they did call him a cracker, and, you know, like, he didn't know the how to deal with them, really. But this year, one of his students was writing a paper for to get a scholarship, and she chose to write about the teacher who imparted into him the most and encouraged him to strive for the best. The girl won the certificate. She won the award. So he got to go with all his teachers to represent the student that wrote for them, you know, that did whatever they did for them. But he was honored. He said, look, Mom, I never thought this would happen, but she wrote about me. So just to encourage you that it's just the beginning, and you will be blessed by teaching.
Okay, and then she goes on to say, and there will be days where you feel all alone. How many times have we suffered that, even though we serve God? We just can't seem to get into the Spirit, or we don't hear or feel God sometimes. And a lot of times that's when we're usually going through the trials, you know, because, you know, us as being human, you know, we try and work things out for ourselves. So sometimes we have that tendency to leave God behind and try and work it out ourselves. And we just find out that we're just spinning our wheels, you know, and we feel like, you know, where God, where are you, you know? But the thing is, he's there all the time. And she said, that's when hope is needed most. In our times of weakness, we need to hope in the Lord for our strength and wisdom. In Lamentations 3:25, it says, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. And that's a lot of times where we lack. We don't really get down on our face and seek out God when we go through these trials and tribulations. You know, I know for men, sometimes it's a pride issue, like, oh, well, I can work it out. I'll get through it, you know. I'm spiritual enough, you know. But the thing is, God sometimes wants us to depend on Him. I mean, aren't we like that with our kids? We want them to come to us and ask us for help. But a lot of times they just want to try and do it on their own, and they wind up falling on their face. She goes on to say, no matter how buried it gets or how lost you feel, you must promise me that you will hold on to hope. Our hope in the Lord is all we can rely on when we feel overwhelmed and just giving up. In Psalms 33:18-24, it says, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You. And that's what we need to do. We need to get in a habit of doing that, to put all our hope in God. Don't put your hope in the circumstance, you know, that you're going through, or people, because sometimes people will let you down, you know. We put expectations on people, which isn't fair. And sometimes they let us down, you know, and then we wind up being the worse for it, because then we get upset or, you know, at them for not doing their part, when we should have been relying on the Lord all along. You want to say something?
I just wanted to say that's so true, and I wanted to encourage you, because I'm one of those inner city kids, and I remember I had it.
I was.
How many inner city kids?
Yeah, but listen. Yeah, and you know, I had a teacher in sixth grade, Miss Bland. I'll never forget her because she changed my life. I was suicidal. I was so lonely, and she spoke into my life. So don't go on what you're seeing. Don't go on what you're feeling. You have to go on what God says. Just like that lady Minka I talked about, she did what He wanted, and you know, she said the hardest times are the times where He shines through and we're blessed. And so don't give up. You know, they would want you to give up. You wait for that person to give up on you. But really, you're hoping they don't give up on you.
Amen. And that goes right into this next line that she said. She says, keep it alive. She's talking about hope. Keep it alive. We have to be greater than what we suffer. Man, that was right to the heart. I mean, think of Jesus, what He had to suffer. But He kept His hope in God and His eyes on God. No matter the pain He was feeling from the people that He's dying for, that were throwing insults at Him and spitting on Him and beating Him. And, you know, and I wrote out of my study Bible, it said in the footnotes, it says, as Christians, we can rejoice in suffering because we know that it is not meaningless. Part of God's purpose is to produce character in His children. That's what these trials are for. You know? They're going to build character in us. You know, I always say this, especially to the men, you know, in the Army, or the Marines, or whatever branch of the service it is, they're constantly practicing war games. Why? Because that way, when the time comes for the real war, they'll know exactly what to do. You know? So, think about it. This is a spiritual war, right? It's a spiritual battle. God is going to test us so that when the real trial comes, we won't fall. We'll be able to have victory in it and give Him all the glory for it. And it's not even for our own sake, but for those around us. And I'm thinking of you right there, you know. You probably feel all alone in that classroom, you know. Never mind the color. Just, you know, your faith in what you believe in and all those other people around you are not the same faith as you, but you have to be greater than what you're suffering. You have to bring God no matter what, you know. Because I always said this, you know, even if Jesus would have went through everything He went through, if it was just to save one soul, I believe He still would have done it. He still would have done it for that one soul. And that's the kind of mentality we have to have. If I can preach at work and be ridiculed and that, if it's going to bring one person to change their life, then it's worth it. It's worth it. All the suffering was worth it. Romans 5:2b-5, it says, And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. See, along with that hope in the Lord, He gives us the Holy Spirit to help us. I mean, Jesus' word said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. So we're never alone. You know, we choose to believe that we're alone, or we choose to walk it out by ourselves. But Christ is always there with His hand out. You know? I mean, Sammy's going to be a new dad soon. Man, when that baby starts walking, dude, you're going to be like right there, like,
no, I'm going to let it fall.
No, you're not. It does. But, you know, you're going to make sure it doesn't hurt itself, right?
I'm kidding.
That explains a lot.
But I thought that line was so powerful that we have to be greater than what we suffer. We can't, and I've said this time and time again on that one teaching I did weeks ago, we can't become the circumstance. We can't let the circumstance dictate who we are. We have to rise above it. Amen? Especially with us here in this room. You know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. So are we always going to agree on everything? No. Are we going to get mad at each other sometimes? Yes. But the fact of the matter is, what are we going to do with that situation? Are we going to allow that circumstance to destroy something that God has put together? To ruin the unity of this body? Or are we going to be greater than what we're suffering? You know what I'm saying? And just deal with it and move on. You know? Oh, go ahead, Kenny.
You know, as you said, you know, that we need to be greater than what we suffer. I go right back to what it is. We're not going to be greater, but God is.
Amen.
We need to know Christ because He's greater than what we're going through.
Mm.
You know, we look to us, and it's Christ in us, as you said, the Holy Spirit, that's greater than he that is in this world.
Amen.
And that's why we got to constantly fix our eyes on Him, because He's greater than that situation.
Mm.
And then we look to Him every hour, like you said, for insight, for discernment on how to deal with that situation. And then He'll start to reveal it little by little. But it's always looking to Him. Because we have that nature to always look to ourselves in the midst of that. And then we get frustrated. Whereas we got to turn it over to Him, like you said, in a short amount of time. You're like, okay, this has got to be turned over to you. This is greater than me, but it's not greater than you.
Hmm.
And He is more than able to reach the lost. How do we know that? We wouldn't be here if He wasn't. Yeah, I just actually got another job. It started back in October after 16 years of being with a company. They determined that my position was no longer needed. So I came home, and in and of myself, I knew that this isn't something that I can deal with in that sense, but that He could. So I broke the news to my wife, sat the kids down, called their friends in because their friends are over all the time, and says, this is what's happened. Now we're going to sit back and watch what God can do, because this is an opportunity to see God's faithfulness. This is an opportunity to see Him move. And that means that you put your trust in Him not just for the next day or the day after or the week after, but it took 6 months. And what you want is to see God move in that situation and be patient and pray. And then He gets me a better job, paying $5,000 more with bonuses up to $8,000, closer to home, with a group of guys that need Christ. Same situation you walk into. There's 536 homes there. So there's 536 potential families to reach. You know, He planted me in the midst of a field that is full of tares. And I'm the wheat. And it's all for the glory of God. But it's how we see it. It's looking to what it is that He wants to do. most people look at that as a bad situation, where this is one of the greatest opportunities in my life to be able to be a witness, a testimony to what my life is. Because like I said, you know, in the message, our life is telling a story. And our story is drastically different than what their story is. And if we're not there being that light, saying that I'm back, and this is still my story, he's still my God in the valley as well as on the mountain, and I'll be down in the valley with them. Those people, they're all low income. They're all inner city, right? And you want to go down in the valley. What better place to be? God is the God of the valleys and the mountains. And that's what's exciting about it. But in the midst of that, Jesus always spent time with them. He always drew near to the Father so that he could be strengthened, so he never lost sight of the joy that was set before him, that being us. And that's what's set before each and every one of us, is that joy, that hope that Eddie's talking about. That hope is something that you really got to catch. I mean, it's there. It's not a figment of our imagination. Otherwise, the hope that the disciples had was us. The hope that Jesus had was us. That's what enabled him to endure that cross. What's the hope that's set before us? It's not only them kids, it's them kids' kids. That there's a lineage and a legacy that God's story is still unfolding. And we get to play a big part in it.
Amen. Well, brother, I know we're in the same spirit. Either that or you looked at my notes, because that last comment you made, that's my next thing. She went on to say, my wish for you is to become hope. People need that. And I wrote, people who don't serve or have fallen away from God, they need to see us put our hope in and keep our eyes, our mind, and our hearts on God in every situation, good or bad, so that they too may come to know and serve him and put their trust and hopes in the one true God of all. Amen? Because too many people put their hopes in the General Motors and Fords and Chryslers. They put their hope in their friends or family. And if they're not serving God, they're just spinning their wheels. Amen? Psalms 31:24 says, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. We have to be strong. We have to be courageous. And like Kenny said, if the situation seems overwhelming, it's not in our strength, but we look for God carry us through. Remember the thing about the footprints in the sand? Think about that. You know, when we're weak, God will carry us. He will carry us. He's not gonna allow us to fall away. I mean, that's a choice we make on our own, but he's there. He's not gonna force himself on us, but he's there. That's all you gotta do is cry out, Abba Father. And he's there. And she said, even if we fail, what better way is there to live? And that kind of struck me too, because there's going to be times where we fail. We blow it. You know, we're not perfect. Like Kenny said, our story is changing day by day by day. Some days we're courageous, some days we're not. It depends on the circumstance. It depends on how much we're relying on the Lord to get us through. But this is probably one of my all-time favorite scriptures. We had this scripture back in the youth 15 years ago, and it's just stuck with me. It's even on my Bible right here, on the wings of eagles. Isaiah 40, 28, 31 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Man, that's powerful. If we fail or stumble, our Father will redeem us. We know this because of his word. In John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
You know, as Eddie was speaking, one of the things that comes to mind is that our hope is in Christ. And just as the Israelites came out of the desert and they went into the promised land, is that they didn't come alone. You know, just like, for example, with Lindsay's situation or my work situation, I have coworkers, I have bosses, I have people that I'm trying to reach in a sense. And the thing is, you don't have to do it alone. One of the things that you do is you get a body of believers praying for those kids. Put their name on a tag, say, hey, listen, can you pray for this student? Can you pray for that student? Because you're going to take ground. Wherever God puts you, whether it be here or the next school or whatnot, you're going to take the ground that God's put you in. And that's what you do. Every morning, I'm spending time praying for my coworkers, listening for what their needs are, listening for what it is that God needs to do, because there's them opportunities to be able to sow into it. But you fight and you take back. You don't wait for all this stuff to happen. You know, you go on the offensive and you start taking back that ground now. And then you enlist others to help you. Say, okay, you got 30 students, 20 students. Others to help you, and then you're going to see that ground being taken. They didn't go into the promised land, okay, you go, Joshua, you secure it, and then we'll come in. You enlist those brothers and sisters to help fight for you, and that's where our hope is. It's in the body of Christ. It's not just in and ourselves.
Mm. Amen. Thank you, brother, for letting me get composed. I know.
And, you know, a lot of times, like those kids, they're fighting you, but deep down inside, they're hoping. They're hoping, like I was hoping, somebody would take that time for me.
Amen. So, in closing, I just wanted to say that we always have to put our hope in the Lord. Like Kenny said, when it seems impenetrable, God can do anything and everything. There's no limits on God. You know, and we got to remember, it's not going to be in our strength, but the strength of the Lord working through us. You know what I mean? It's going to make it look like it was us, but just like Jesus, like Kenny said, he always gave the glory back to God, always to God. So when someone comes up to you and says, oh, thank you for that beautiful word of encouragement, tell them. Say, it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit that God gave me to speak to you. You always refer it back to God, so that they could put that hope in God. That's the whole picture. That's the whole thing, you know? Like in that movie, of course, we know Spider-Man ain't God, but what she was trying to tell him is, you're hope for the world. You know, you're the hero. Well, God's our hero. See, we have to give the world that hope, that God's our hero. He'll never fail us. He'll never take 5 months off. You know, he's always there, always. We don't have to suffer like he did for 5 months, being depressed. You know, even in the times of suffering, we got to remember that it's for God's purpose. Like Kenny said again, our lives are being written, and it's not all going to be peaches and cream, but that builds character in our life. Because when we go through something, even if we fail, like she says, even if we fail, what better way is there to live? So that when we do stumble and eventually we get victory over that, don't you know that God's going to send you someone that's going through that exact same thing? Because that's the character he built in you. So you can give them that hope and say, you know what, I was going through that too. And I felt like giving up, but I didn't, because God told me, no, you're going to get victory in this. You're going to give me the glory, and that person's going to come to know me. And that's what it's all about. That's what hope's all about. Amen? Amen. Amen. Bob, close us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, our hope is in you and nothing
yes,
else,
Lord
Father
God.
God. That's what we need to learn out of this, Father God. Our hope is you, Lord. And Father, I pray that you just continue to give us that hope, Father God, as we step out into many places that you're going to send us, Lord. Father, we thank you for the word that Eddie and Donna brought, Father God, that they brought hope to us, Father God. Lord, we pray for the rest of the service, Father God, as we go down to the sanctuary, Father God, that you just pour your spirit out, Father God, that we go down there with hope and expectancy, Father God, that we serve a God that's going to move. We pray that nobody leave here without a touch from you today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.